Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Robert Spencer, the director of JihadWatch.org, the author of several best-selling books on Islam. His most recent book, a must-have, is called The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. His website, JihadWatch.org or JihadWatch.com. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, always. I appreciate your scholarship on this. And I want to focus, if we could, on not just the recent event in New York City and in New Jersey, but the whole concept of somebody acting alone, a lone wolf. For example, the man who was stabbing people in a Minnesota mall in Somalia. It seems as if jihad has come to America now.
Oh, very much so, Jerry, very much so. The Islamic State, or ISIS, has issued calls repeatedly, going back to September 2014, to Muslims in the U.S. to carry out what are called these lone wolf attacks when somebody without any connection to a jihad group, and thus not likely to be on the police radar, commits murder or attempted murder on American civilians. This is something that ISIS very much wants and has encouraged. The recent attacks, one of them in the Minnesota Mall,
mm-hmm.
was carried out by a Somali Muslim who, here again, did not have any ties to jihad terror groups. But the one in New York, the bombs set off in New York and New Jersey, or placed in New York and New Jersey. Most of them, thank God, did not go off. But that bomber, actually, he was on the radar. He had been looked at by the FBI a couple times. And they had dismissed him as a threat, which does suggest once again something that I've very often pointed out, that our authorities, because they are bound as a matter of policy to denying that Islam and jihad have anything to do with terrorism, they, I think, miss far too often and increasingly important signs that they should have picked up on that just aren't politically correct to notice. Rahami, the New York bomber, he was actually noted by his friends because he was, they said, a very friendly guy, very nice guy, very secular, Western, not religious. He went to Afghanistan and he came back and his entire demeanor had changed. He was very stern and quite religious. Now, it used to be, up until 2011, that if a Muslim suddenly became very religious, and it was in connection with a trip to terror outposts like Afghanistan, then it was considered to be a warning sign that something could happen, that this was somebody that they should be looking at. But that was all swept away by the Obama administration in its denial that Islam has anything to do with terrorism. They removed all that kind of thing from counter-terror training. And thus, if anybody had noticed that Rahami had gone to Afghanistan and come back very religious, they were bound, as a matter of policy, not to think that that was anything to be concerned about or to warrant further investigation.
It boggles the mind. It just boggles the mind. I mean, how many people have to die before these bad ideas are confronted with the truth?
Absolutely. It seems as if there's no real answer to that, in the sense that there's no amount of evidence that is going to convince Obama and his people that they're on the wrong path. They don't even seem concerned about Americans dying in jihad terror attacks. Their primary concern when one of these attacks happens seems to be to make sure that Americans don't think ill of Islam and to assure us that none of this has anything to do with Islam. And that seems to be the thing that they're most worried about, that anybody might get a poor view of Islam because of jihad terror.
You know, I can't help but feel that the national election is shaping up around this issue, among others, but there is a clear difference in terms of what Trump is saying and what Hillary Clinton is saying. You know, love him or hate him, Trump is saying, look, there's a connection here between Islam and terror in these cases, and Hillary's denying it.
Yes, absolutely. She actually has said that the Muslims have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism, which is just simply counterfactual. Muslims obviously are behind quite a bit of terrorism. It is something that is sanctioned by the Islamic religion or not, that is nonetheless undeniable. And so to pretend that Muslims have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism is yet more of this same politically correct refusal to acknowledge reality.
I think in some ways the most memorable of these kind of quotes is from the former Prime Minister, maybe that says something, David Cameron, a former Prime Minister of UK, where he said, they're not Muslims, they're murderers. But they were both in the particular instance he was talking about.
Yes, that the idea that a Muslim could be a murderer and indeed be murdering in accord with the teachings of Islam, that is something that is just not in David Cameron's worldview. He would never admit it. He thinks, as a matter of fact, it seems as if people like him have the idea that if a Muslim commits an act of violence, it is disqualifying him from Islam, that somehow he becomes not a Muslim when he commits the act of violence.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know one of your books actually even talked about the Crusades, which is almost like, wow, that's really politically incorrect. But I've been watching a series on the Crusades, an older one, by the History Channel. It's really well done. It's, by the way, I started to watch another one, which was so horribly biased. I literally just put it in the dumpster or whatever. But this other one on the History Channel is really well done. But, you know, people like Obama or the Clintons, I remember Bill Clinton said after 9/11, he said, well, you know, this is a response to the Crusades. What? In 2001?
Yes.
You're talking about something that ended 700 or 800 years ago? Come on.
Yes. He really did say that he thought that the Crusades were the beginning of the antagonism between the West and the Islamic world. He ignored, as does everyone in the West, the fact that there were 450 years of jihad wars against Christian lands before there was ever any crusade, and that what we think of today as the Islamic world, the very heart of it in the Middle East, was all Christian land, where 99% of the people were Christians in Egypt, Syria, and elsewhere in that area. And the over half of what was the Christian world before the jihad started in the middle of the 7th century was overwhelmed by Islamic jihad attacks. And so the Crusades were a late, small-scale, delayed response to all that.
And, of course, you're not in any way justifying some of the things. Some of the things the Crusaders did was just not justifiable from a Christian perspective, much less any other perspective.
Yes.
But going back to here we are, modern America, I don't see any, you know, as the former governor of Louisiana said after President Obama said, you know, look, as Christians, we shouldn't get on our high horse. Remember the Crusades. And Bobby Jindal said something like, you know, thanks, Mr. President. I'll keep my eye out for those medieval Christians, you know, make sure they don't cross my path or whatever. But here we are in modern America, and we have these attacks. And the sad thing is, because of the internet and because of our freedoms and so forth, these attacks can continue. And the worst part, though, is the idea that our politicians won't keep us safe because they're not willing to name the enemy, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. They are committed to this refusal to acknowledge who the enemy is. And the thing is that there is a cost to that. There's a price to pay for ignoring reality. And that is that we are not dealing with the problem properly. If you don't diagnose the problem correctly, then you won't apply the proper solution. And this is what we're doing. We're bringing in massive numbers of Muslim migrants, completely ignoring the fact that the Islamic State, ISIS, threatened to send jihadis among the migrants. There were two Muslim migrants among the attackers in Paris in November 2015. Mm. And there is no way to determine who is a peaceful Muslim and who is a jihadi. There's no way to distinguish. So the idea that we can contain this threat while bringing in hundreds of thousands of people, among whom there will certainly be jihadis, is ridiculous. But it comes from this deformed policy and this assumption that Islamic jihad has nothing to do with Islam, and so therefore we're not taking any significant risk.
Now, I was I saw, you know, where one statistic, it was saying something like to the effect that Obama either was or has brought in 100,000, was in the process of bringing 100,000 refugees from Syria, and less than 1% of those were Christians, and yet a lot of the Christians in Syria, you know, have had to flee because of Islamic persecution.
Yes. 10% of Syria before the war was Christian. So the refugees ought to be 10% Christian, or even more, considering that the Christians have been so savagely attacked by Islamic Jihad groups in Syria. And yet less than 1% of the refugees that Obama has brought in are Christian. What he's doing is not really refugee resettlement or humanitarian aid. It's social engineering.
Wow. With a pro-Muslim tent. Now, you and I have had this conversation before. Some say, oh, he's just a secret Muslim. But you say, no, that's not really true.
Well, I don't know, to tell you the truth. You know, he doesn't answer my emails. He doesn't return my calls.
Really, President Obama doesn't
Obama
answer your calls? I can't believe it. He must be a busy guy.
Yes, very. In any case, in all seriousness, Barack Obama does not seem to be an overtly religious individual. He, if he's an observant Muslim, he certainly hides it very well, because there are all sorts of things that we would see him doing if he did not, if he were. At the same time, I think that what is undeniable is that he has a great respect for Islam, a great regard for Islam. He thinks it's good for individuals, good for society, and has done everything he could as president to encourage its growth and spread. Certainly, whatever his personal views may be, that much is clear, that his agenda has been completely in line with the Muslim Brotherhood's global agenda and so on.
Well, okay, when we focus on the issue at hand, which is these lone wolf attackers and so forth, it's almost as if he's more concerned about bad PR for Islam than he is concerned about keeping Americans safe from bad, Muslims that have intent to kill the infidel.
It does seem that way, as if his primary goal as president is to make sure we think well of Islam. You remember, he actually even said that in his outreach speech to the Islamic world in June 2009 in Cairo. He said that he considered it part of his duty as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. And I thought, what on earth? Where is that in the Constitution? It's a completely new presidential duty that he made up, but it's about making Islam look good.
You know, one story that most people probably missed, and I'm sure you didn't, was about NASA. Explain that, and how, you know, one of the goals of NASA under Obama was to, well, you explain it, about Islam and NASA.
Yeah, that was not long after he became president, and I believe the man's name was Charlie Winter, if I recall correctly. He was, in any case, the head of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and he was being interviewed, and he said that there was going to be some changes in what NASA was focusing on, because Obama had told Winter, according to Winter, that he thought that NASA should focus on making Muslims feel positive about Islamic scientific achievements and the accomplishments of Muslims in the world. And so he was essentially telling Winter that instead of exploring space, which we thought NASA was all about, that NASA should be devoted to making Muslims feel good.
Okay, sounds, it boggles the mind, but I mean, it's true. These stories are true. Okay, what can we do as citizens? I mean, we certainly wouldn't want to encourage any kind of vigilantism, and you see the signs all over. So if you see something, say something. But it's almost as if the government is saying, not really.
Yes, you're right. I think the main thing that we need to do is vote these people out and get in representatives who are willing to speak honestly about this.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely essential at this point, especially coming up in an election year. It's across the board. We should not be willing to support anyone who dissembles about this issue and spreads these politically correct falsehoods.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And on that, we'll end. Again, Robert Spencer, his book is called The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. He's also written many other books, but you can see all of his works at jihadwatch.org. Thanks so much, Robert, for being with us again.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank
okay,
you.
Me too. All right, bye-bye. God bless.